This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Turn up your volume.
Because you're about to listen to
The Sick Podcast.
The Sick Podcast. With Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainment like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est le bon, c'est fini! Et ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination. It's gonna be sick.
Matt O'Han back with you on the Sick Podcast. Man, feels like I haven't spoken to you guys in a long time. Where was I? Here. You know, it was the Canadian schedule. As you guys saw, we had to cancel some shows some nights because the Canadians were playing at 9 o'clock. And because Tony's the big boss, he needs the FaceTime to pay the bills to keep the money rolling into this operation. So with all that, the Habs were back on schedule. So I'm back on schedule. Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Energy Transportation Group is a leading full service logistics provider serving all of North America, driven to be different. We're also brought to you by La Bitte TB Beer, brewed in Quebec and a winner of a dozen international awards. La Bitte TB offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. La Bitte TB, embrace your true nature. And of course, by Playground, experience Playground like never before. Enjoy world-class poker, 900-plus gaming machines and weekly events, karaoke Mondays, comedy Wednesdays, live bands on Fridays and Saturdays, and much more. Discover their latest edition, the ET Etc. Steakhouse, Drunken Dragon's Exquisite Sushi, the Esperanto Cigar Lounge, and Babel Lounge's Mezze and Cocktails. Playground is your ultimate destination for entertainment. Just over the Mercier Bridge, visit playground.ca for details. And finally, by sportsbuffshop.com, shop all your sports licensed lifestyle apparel, including hoodies, caps, and tees of your favorite teams for all major leagues at sportsbuffshop.com. Use SICK10 for 10% off all their items. Okay. The Canadians are frustrating a lot of people. They're entertaining a lot of people. It's great. Listen, this is a good time. It's a good time for the Canadians because playing inconsequential hockey, they're winning games that they shouldn't be. That's making people some people mad, but it's not making the people in the building mad that went to go watch the games. But hey, Yuri Slavkovsky's playing well. Yoel Armia's playing well. Let's break all this down and kind of not really put a bow on the season because there's still about five or six games left. But, you know, put things in perspective with my usual Friday guest and the usual Friday guest on the Sick Podcast, Mr. Stu Cowan. Stu, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. just about as good as the Canadiens. I mean, like, listen, they lost last night. I don't think anyone expected them to win. But hey, a couple nights ago, no one expected them to win against the Panthers, and they beat the Panthers. So, you know, things are going well for the Canadiens. What to you standing out the most being in and around the locker room the past month or so?
The compete level again. I mean, we saw it against Tampa, the third period. I mean, the game was basically over. They could have rolled over and died. They didn't. They came out and they played a really solid third period and made a game out of it. Also, Caden Primo, you know, six goals after two periods. It wasn't all his fault. I mean, he looked bad on one that beat him high to the glove side, which brought back memories of that game against Florida when he let in five goals that way. And I asked Marty St. Louis after the game if he gave any thought to maybe pulling Primo. Just, you know, young goalie, six goals, going and playing against Tampa Bay. And he said he did, but, you know, they were starting the third period with a four-minute power play Tampa Bay. They didn't want to throw Montembeault into that situation cold. But you wonder if last season he might have pulled Primo, just with his confidence looked so fragile last season. I think that's the biggest change in Caden Primo this year is his confidence level. And he played really well in the third period. He kept them in the game and gave them a chance as they came back to try and win. You know, Tampa got the empty net goal to seal it. But again, the thing with this team all season that's impressed me the most is just the way they compete and the way they don't give up. I mean, that game last night was a perfect example. You're not going to the playoffs. There's like seven games left in the season. You might be thinking about where you're going to go after the season, what your vacation is going to be. You don't want to get it hurt. You think all those things. But the Canadiens don't look that way. I mean, they played really hard. They played a really good game. And, you know, Joel Armia, what a story he's become.
Yeah, and, you know, nominated this morning for the Bill Masterton Trophy. He's the Canadiens nominee, which is really just fantastic because I think it's got to be said, like, you and I have done our fair share of criticism. I don't want to say ragging on, but we've criticized Joel Armia a fair share for a fair bit this season and last season, frankly, on this podcast together. So, you know, fair play to him because he's, you know, if he still keeps scoring at the pace he's scoring, he's definitely breaking his career high in goals. Won't break his career high in points, but. You know, he's been a good player. Like, you know, some nights I'm watching the games and, you know, I'll check on the score and I go, man, Joel Armia just keeps scoring. What is this guy, the Finnish Gretzky? What's going on here? So fair play to him. It's been a very, very good season for him.
I have to admit, I did not vote for him for the Masterton. The Masterton is supposed to be dedication, perseverance to hockey without other awards. My vote went to Nick Suzuki. You know, I think he epitomizes everything that award should be. This isn't a knock on Armia, but I mean, the Masterton Award has become, it's not supposed to be, but it's sort of become a comeback award. And there's no doubt that Joel Armia is the comeback player this year. You know, speaking with him after the game last night, usually such a quiet, shy guy, very few words. He'll answer a lot of questions with a shrug and I don't know. But last night he was fun to talk to. He was smiling. He laughed a couple of times. It's the longest interview I've ever had with him since he's been with the Canadiens. And good for him. I mean, mentally, he's in a really good spot. And that's what Marty St. Louis has talked about. He's worked with the team's mental coach. He said he can't give all the credit to that guy. There's a lot of people involved. I think the confidence Marty St. Louis has shown him has helped also. I think being sent to Laval was a very loud wake-up call for him. I asked him last night, did you think that your NHL career might be over when he got sent down there? And he said he didn't. And he also spoke about how hard he is on himself and that was a problem maybe before. He'd be too hard on himself at times. He said that's also what allowed him to get to the NHL is that drive. But there were so many nights we'd see him earlier this season and previous season where he just didn't look engaged at all in the game. You know, he was almost invisible. And now, boy, what a difference. He's been one of the Canadiens' best players, maybe their best player after Suzuki up there with Masterton for the last month and a half or so. And it's definitely the most consistent stretch of hockey he's ever had with the Canadiens. And since that Stanley Cup run in 2021, which is how he got that contract from Marc Bergevin. But the way he's playing now, he's earning that money. And the way he's playing now, you wonder if there might be interest in him from other teams during the offseason. Or at least at the trade deadline next year. And you got to think, this is a guy who cleared waivers when he went to Laval. Like, talk about a blow to your ego. I remember Marty St. Louis earlier in the season when I asked about Armia. He had a great quote. He says, players need to realize that your life in the NHL is really short and your life after the NHL is really long. And you need to appreciate that. And I think that message got through to Joel Armia. He said he didn't believe his NHL career was over when he got sent to Laval. But there must have been a little part in the back of his mind that might have been wondering. Because, you know, you're a veteran guy like that, he's 27, 28, whatever, he's up there in his high 20s, you clear waivers, nobody wants you, like, wow. And you were a former first round draft pick. But kudos to him. I mean, I'm really happy for him because he's always seemed like a really nice guy, a nice, quiet guy. Unfortunately, he played too often like a nice, quiet guy. He has an edge to him now, and we're seeing that on the ice night after night.
Yeah, and you know, that's, I got to say, like, he's got the right attitude. Like, I agree with you that, you know, a part of him must have said, man, I'm up against the ropes here, especially when it comes to his NHL career. But at the same time, you know, his response to that, that's kind of the attitude you would want from a player to respond, you know, no, it's not over. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to battle back. And to his credit, like you said, it's the most consistent stretch he's had as a Canadian, at least in the regular season, for sure. So it's been great to watch, and that's what I like the most, because you know, you see his season in 2020, the 2019-2020 season, that was his career high in goals and points. Now he's tied his career high in goals. That season, it kind of felt like while he was putting up points, it was the classic put up 4 points in one game and then, you know, disappear for eight. And then do it again, and then disappear, put up two more. You know what I mean? So this is, you know, night in, night out, he's having a pretty good impact on the ice. And, you know, it's benefiting his line mates. You know, you see him playing with Brendan Gallagher, and now all of a sudden, because Yoel Armia's name is on the score sheet, you know, every so often, it seems like every night it is, we're seeing Brendan Gallagher's name on the score sheet more often, which is also nice to see, because I feel like he's, well, I mean, this, I'm not going out on a, I'm not going out on a limb here, but he's a very easy guy to root for. Yeah. So,
talent's never been the issue with Yoel Armia ever. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like effort level was, like, the effort didn't seem to be there. But from what we're learning now, more talking with Marty, we're talking, it seems to be more of a mental thing that he was in his head too much, and he seems to be able to get out of that. And you're right. I mean, Brendan Gallagher, you know, I wrote a column yesterday about, you know, people, so much in the NHL today, everything revolves around the salary cap, right? And so many people focus on Brendan Gallagher's contract, 6.5 million cap, at 3 more years. And so you can't define Brendan Gallagher by his contract. It's, you know, he was underpaid when he was a 30 goal scorer. He's overpaid now. Did Mark Bergevin give him too much term on that contract? Yeah. But Brendan Gallagher, the effort level is there every single night. He'll never change. He'll, you know, he's going to end up being a very expensive third liner, maybe even fourth liner by the end of his contract. But the effort level is always going to be there. And, you know, if you put him, it'd be interesting to see what moves they make in the offseason, because he needs to play with a really good centerman. Like when he was with Philip Deneau, he needs a centerman who can carry the puck into the offensive zone, set up, and let him just go to the net. That's his game, right? And he hasn't had that since Deneau left. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, moving forward, how that might work out with him with a centerman. And as Gallagher, you know, you're going to get, and as he said, he's really proud that he's stayed healthy all season. The only games he missed were when he was suspended, and that was a big, you know, issue for him moving in the past. A lot of it was just bad luck, you know, broken ankle last year twice. But with Brendan Gallagher, as I said, you define him by the effort level he has every night and the way he competes and how hard he competes, the leadership role he plays. As Marty St. Louis says, he drags his teammates into the fight. He does that all the time. Is he overpaid? Yes, but he's not the only overpaid player in the NHL. There's bad contracts out there, but there's also guys with bad contracts who don't compete, and that Brendan Gallagher will never be that way.
Yeah, and you know, another thing to define him by, because you mentioned, you know, two broken ankles last year, just, you don't get battle scars without that level of compete. You don't get the battle scars he has.
He's paying the price now for the way he played. And there was a shift last night where he went to the net at about 100 miles an hour, cutting from the boards, a dangerous play. Like if it was a defenseman waiting for him, you just lay him out. He's fearless. He's always been fearless. That's why he got to the NHL at the size he is. And, you know, he's made a lot of money. You can mail it in. We see guys in the NHL like that at the end of their career sort of mail it in. He'll never do that. Like, you're going to get everything Brendan Gallagher has every night until he plays his last shift in the NHL. And you're going to have to drag him away, you know, kicking and screaming.
And, you know, a lot of people might, you know, this conversation we're having, it might irk them in a way of, because I get it, you know, people are fed up with where the Canadians are at as an organization, and that's fine, but that's where they're at, you know, for the next year or so, at least. You know, they're not going to be very good next year either, barring, you know, winning the draft lottery and Macklin Celebrini being generational talent here. So, you know, if it may seem like we're coddling the Canadians and putting a nice bow on what was a pretty...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A disappointing season because I think most people thought they would be better than a bottom five team. Well, I'm sorry. That's just not how it is. But one thing from last night's game really caught my attention, and I made the connection to something else because, you know, obviously what stole the headlines this week in the NHL? It was New Jersey and New York, the line brawl. And, you know, people have their opinions. I know you were quite vocal on Twitter. I don't want to call it a friendly, but a respectful interaction between you and Aaron Ward.
Yeah.
On Twitter, and it was
a respectful
very nice
interaction on Twitter. Imagine that.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you know, off the first tweet, you're kind of like, "Ooh, it's getting spicy a little bit," and then no, it just ended up being a very respectful interaction. You know, you have your opinion, he has his opinion, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think line brawls are ridiculous, and he disagrees. As a former player, I respect his opinion. He played in the NHL. I didn't. Brendan Gallagher, I spoke with him yesterday morning about it. He thought it was great also. I grew up with Rock'em Sock'em hockey, right, and the Don Cherry videos, and I loved it. I loved fights. I loved everything. I grew up in that environment. Anybody in my age group did. But as I've gotten older and we've seen, you know, the tragic stories about so many NHL enforcers, and, you know, recently Todd Ewan and John Corder, who both played for the Canadians, where they rest in peace, and both had tragic ends to their life and too young, you know, shared a birthday, played with the, like, that and Bob Probert and Chris Simon recently, and the long list of enforcers, and we've seen the Bougard. You know, that sticks in my mind when I see stuff like that. Like, I understand fighting is going to be part of hockey. It's an emotional game. It's played at high speed. There's no out of bounds to avoid a hit. Guys are going to get upset. There's going to be fights. We saw Jaden Struble last night. I understand that. It's the staged fights that I mean, that line brawl looked like WWE. That was my tweet. Like, this is a joke, you know. And as I said, I used to love that stuff when I was in, but when we see the toll that this takes, and also Gary Bettman's refusal to accept that CTE can be related to playing hockey, the lack of empathy is sickening from the NHL when it comes to this. When you see players dying, not only enforcers, I mean, Henri Richard had CTE, and Don Murek, who died recently, former Canadiens defenseman, he had CTE. And for the NHL, I mean, it's a legal issue. Like, they're worried about lawsuits, or they're going to fight it all the way. Gary Bettman's a lawyer. His job is to make money for the owners. But the lack of empathy for these guys, to me, is really sickening by the NHL. And that's why I don't like the stage fights. I see these things, and you know, I see the kid Rempe with New York.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got like one goal, and like, he's there just to fight. And I hope he, you know, I pray he's not added to that list 20 years from now of these guys who play that role and takes a toll on them. And if there's like 21 former NHL enforcers, I think it is now, who have died way too young and linked to issues that come from playing that role, whether it's alcohol or drug abuse or CTE or depression or whatever. You know, it's a camera who was one of the former enforcers talking about, like, when you know you're going into a game and you're going to fight, it's in the back of your mind from the morning, when you wake up in the morning, and they said it's like going to school every day and knowing that at the end of school, you're going to have to fight the other toughest guy in the school every day. And it's in the back of your mind and it just weighs and weighs and weighs. So, you know, the stage fights I could do without. I think they're ridiculous. I mean, it was good to see they kicked the guys out of the game who were involved. Yeah. But I think you need to add in like a couple of game suspension for stuff like that. And that would stop it. But I don't think the NHL wants to stop it. I think they want that to be part of the game. Brendan Gallagher told me yesterday, that's what makes the NHL unique from other sports. And it does. But for me personally, my view on fighting, my appetite for fighting has diminished. I still understand the guys are going to lose their temper. There's going to be a big hit. There's going to be a fight. But the stage fights, I think, are ridiculous. I mean, we saw last night when two Tampa players collided with each other. And they thought they had to retaliate and went after Arbor Jack guy. It was ridiculous.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, was that there were two plays in that game that, you know, it's funny because one of them amounted to nothing. And the other one was, you know, a freak accident play. And it amounted to something, you know, where Caden Gooley just gets knocked out of the game on, you know, a 50-50 hit. You know, and when it comes to boarding, we've seen way more violent boardings, but letter of the law, that was boarding on Kucherov. He hit him right in the numbers. You know, they're moving together, but you know, he still lays into it. You can make the argument that it was, you know, it's a 50-50. It could go either way.
The one on Jake Evans, I thought was 100% boarding. That was even worse than the one on Gooley. And they both, and I you know, two Gooley and Evans, two guys who have concussion histories. You know, Gooley missed four games earlier this season because of concussions. And I tweeted last night, not only is Caden Gooley a really good hockey player and he's going to be a star in this league for a long time, he's also a super nice, polite kid. He's a pleasure to talk to. I hope he's going to be okay. But yeah, I agree. The Kucherov one was, I thought it was boarding, but the hit on Evans was textbook boarding. Like, that was a guy came from straight angle on him, straight to him, and grabbed him and slammed him into the boards. And you know, the NHL, you'd think they'd want to get rid of those hits, but the NHL sells violence. They market it. It's part of the game that they want to sell. And some of these guys pay a heavy price later on in life.
So to me, there's two things about this. Is one, to bring it to the game last night, I didn't love that, you know, no real reaction out of the team for Gooley. You know, they're not in a big, it's not really like a playoff thing where you're kind of, oh, you got to show you're tough and whatever. It's just, you know, it's just, you see other teams stand up for their players and do it, and not necessarily fight, but just, you know, send a message, you know, rough, like take a roughing minor, no problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just, you know, get rough and do that. But then there's the other side of like the NHL. It's funny because this happened in the New York game where it was handled by the refs on the ice to a T perfectly because there, it was what, the first 2 seconds of the game, this happened. Yeah. There was nothing the rest of the game.
It was planned. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was nothing, you know, violent the rest of the game. Imagine had they not kicked those guys out, what could have transpired after, and the continuity. You know, I get to bring it to a Canadian's angle. I remember the game against Boston where Carey Price and Tim Thomas fought. Yeah. Even that was, you know, the last time I think the Canadians were involved in a line brawl, and it was, you know, building towards that the entire game. But at the end of the day, a line brawl is a stage thing. Mm-hmm. So,
I mean, they didn't really have a response to the Gooley hit. The previous game, they really did have a response when Jake Evans got hit late by Cousins. You wonder if it's the fact it's Kucherov, a star player, if it's not like Nick Cousins, right? If that factored into it. But Jack, after. I can't remember what it was, went after him after the two players.
It was Michael Essiemont went after him.
Jack Eye's lucky that he didn't get more than he got because he blew a gasket. We haven't seen Jack Eye blow a gasket in a while. And he basically shoved the linesman, had him, and he grabbed the linesman and shoved him away to go get at the player. And I think speaking with Jack Eye a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about how he's improved his relationship with the referees. He said, or bitches about a call. He might ask them, well, what did I do wrong? What could I do better? And there was a couple of games ago where he took a penalty early in the game and the referee actually skated over the penalty box to talk to him to explain what it was. So he's maturing as a player and his relationship with the referees is improving. He has respect for them. And I'm like, he blew a gasket. So I'm wondering if the relationship he's been able to build with the referees this year had to, might have had something to do with the linesman sort of, okay, it's all right. He sort of grabbed me and threw me aside. Mm-hmm. He blew his gasket for a second. Cool for a second. We're going to let this one slide. Because it could have mean it's, if, I think if Jack had did that last season, he might even be looking at a hearing with the NHL today. But
oh, yeah. You know, and the thing about these plays is that they could totally be avoided if refereeing was just better. I mean, we saw it in the New Jersey game, in the New Jersey New York mm-hmm. game. Nothing happened after because the referees, they put their foots down right from the moment mm-hmm. the puck was dropped. You know, they meant business, they let it happen. But then it was no BS the rest of the game. And then you see other games where players feel the need to police the game themselves. And I feel like that's the unique thing about hockey that, I mean, the fans that like it really like it. And then people on the outside, they don't. I mean, you can make the argument football is a way more violent game mm-hmm. than hockey, yet it's very rare you will see a fight. Had this conversation with a friend because he asked me he's a basketball fan. He asked me how I felt about the line brawl. I said, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. And I said, but maybe, you know, with, cause I compare it to football cause it's really the only two collision sports we'll call mm-hmm. it. And I said, you know, maybe when a player takes a 15-yard penalty, a personal foul, the other team doesn't really respond to it so much in a, you know, they have to prove they're tougher because no matter what, you are 100% benefiting from a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. That is a back-breaking thing. You might not score on a 2-minute power play. You might not score on a 5-minute major. You know what I mean? It's maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't know. It's just, it's something about hockey that.
Hockey culture. I mean, football's the most physical, violent game out there. There's no fights. You know, you wouldn't, it's not part of the game. It's the most popular sport by far in North America. You know, nothing even comes close to it. But the NHL, it's part of their game. It always has been. And they market it and they sell it. It's not going to change.
And you know, it's the last thing I'll say about it is maybe another thing that has to do with it is, you know how you got the playoff handshake line in the NHL? Mm-hmm. After every game in the NFL, players go up to each other. Hey, respect. Good game. Stay healthy. That's all. You always hear that. Stay healthy. That's what the number one thing. And it's kind of hard to stay healthy when you put yourself in harm's way like that every day fighting. Your main job.
Yeah, NFL too. A guy, a linebacker will smoke a running back coming up the middle and knock him like hard, clean hit on his butt. And then 9 times out of 10, they'll grab him and pick him up.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And then the running back will say, clean hit. Good job.
it's a different mentality. I know I had a buddy of mine who played at Concordia University years ago, and Mike Soles was at McGill. And Mike Soles was, of course, the big star. And Mike Soles ran up the middle. And my buddy had a line on him, and he came in. And this back when you could hit with your helmet, he put his helmet right in, and he hit him as hard as, he says, as hard as I've ever hit anybody in my life. Souls went flying backwards. My buddy said, I got up. He says, I didn't know what day it was. Like, my head was spinning sideways. I didn't know where I was. And he says, Souls jumped right back up, patted him on the butt, and said, good hit. I went back to the huddle. My buddy went to the sideline with a concussion, thought he was going to, like, I think he went to the wrong bench first. Then he went back. So it's just a different mentality of football and hockey where – players sort of appreciate when they get hit hard and they go, good hit. Whereas in hockey, you need a fight.
Yeah. It's, hey, listen, maybe one day we'll see it change. We're seeing a change in the juniors.
Yeah.
It'll take a long time.
Away on it. Yeah. Yeah.
It'll take a long time to make it to the NHL, but
you know, it's good to see that because I remember when Vinny LeCavalier was the number one pick and I did a story on him and I spoke with his parents and his dad wanted him to go play major junior and his mom wanted him to go to university. And at the end of the day, LeCavalier decided he was going to go, I think it was Rimouski he played in, right? And so the first game of the season, his parents live in the West Island. They drive to Rimouski to watch the game. And opening faceoff, we're talking about opening faceoff line brawls, opening faceoffs, and LeCavalier is 16, I guess, at the time. Puck drops, the winger or the guy in front of LeCavalier grabs him, drops the gloves, and beats him up. First shift in the QHL. So I was talking with the parents, and I said, so what was the car ride home like for that? And the father said, there was no word spoken. that was you know, Vinny LaCalvi, yeah. The junior, as a 16-year-old star getting beat up the first game. And I think the Q realized it had to do that, because if you're a parent with a son who's a good hockey player, are you going to put him in that environment, or are you going to send him to the NCAA? No fighting in the NCAA, right? It's like
they're all wearing cages too in the NCAA.
To me, as a parent, it's a no-brainer. So I think the Q is leading the way in that they realize. And then I remember somebody talking about with an NHL scout saying, "Well, oh, that nobody's going to draft anybody from the Q. You know, we won't know if they're tough, if they can fight. Well, nobody fights in NCAA, and you know, a lot of NCAA guys get drafted in the first round. So it's I applaud the QMJHL for leading the way on this, and especially kids that age, you know, bare knuckle fighting. To me, as I said, I grew up liking hockey fights, and as I get older, I don't like them as much.
Yeah, it's anyways, we'll see. It's a weird week for the NHL in that way, because you know, it really stole the headline. I mean, we've been talking about it for about 10-15 minutes.
Well, that's what Brandon Gallagher said. He says everybody's talking about it.
That's it. I mean, in the NHL, is no press is bad press, I guess. Yeah. Until you get a star, it might happen one day, you know, just to close the book on this it might happen that, you know, he might pop up on your feed. He certainly pops up on my feed a lot because of football, obviously, but it's really sad to see Antonio Brown the way he is. For our fans who don't know, used to be star wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, I'm talking, when I say star, arguably the best when he played, and just took too many hits to the head, and he lost his marbles. He exited a game, you know, when he took his jersey off, was, you know, waving it around like a playoff towel, and you know, now you just see him going on tirades on Twitter all the time, and he's made it a bit. He calls it CTESPN is his thing. You know, it's really sad.
In life. I mean, and the only thing that might ever change the NHL with fighting is if somebody dies in a fight on the ice. Hopefully, that never happened.
Yeah, of course.
Remarkable, it hasn't happened to this point. And I know we were talking about Matthew Rempe earlier, and I can't remember. I think it was even Nick DeLoria he fought. And at the end of the fight, Rempe fell backwards to the ice, and his head almost smashed to the ice. I remember watching that fight, and, you know, fans are going crazy and wild, and, yeah, this is awesome. What if his head had hit the ice and he's lying unconscious, or almost? Remember the George Parros fight when first?
Yes, I was in the building when that happened.
He looked like he was dead on the ice. It was Colton Moore. Colton Moore, I think he fought. He looked like looked like he was dead, lying swallowed dead on the ice. And all of a sudden, the fans go from going crazy to silence, right? And as I say, obviously, I hope that never ever happens. But these guys are so big and so strong. And the other thing is, it's interesting. You know, if you lose your helmet during the play, you have to go directly to the bench. But if you lose your helmet in a fight, don't worry about it. Just keep throwing punches. It makes no sense.
It's the last thing I'll say is, especially, you know, because we brought him up as Matt Rempe, is I don't know. Like, he's on the highlight reels a lot. Mm-hmm. This guy is on the losing end of the highlight reels a lot.
Yeah.
He's tough. Like, let's not get it twisted. Yeah. He'll have a black eye and the whole bit, but he's losing a lot of fights. And he's a spring chicken right now, but I feel like in his line of business in the NHL, that will fizzle out quite quickly.
Well, I was talking with Chris Nyland about this recently, and he said this kid's going to get killed. Like, he's going to get knocked cold since he has no defense. He's just wailing at guys. And Knuckles said, he says, man, I'd get in tight on him, and I'd hit him with a left-hand stun gun, and he'd go down. Like, he says, I would take him out. Back in my, like, no, he says he has no defense. And nobody knows more about hockey fighting than Chris Nyland. And he noticed that right away. And he said he's worried about the kid. He says he just leaves himself so open. And you get a guy like Nicholas Deloria, one of those guys who's been doing this for a long time, or Ryan Reeves been doing this for a long time. Not only do they know how to throw a punch, they know how to protect themselves. And as I said, Knuckles was telling me, he says, with Rempe, he says he doesn't know how to protect himself. And it reminds me of Nathan Beaulieu was with the Canadiens. And he fought Foligno at the Bell Center. And Foligno caught him with a punch, and Beaulieu was basically out on his feet. And Foligno went to hit him again, and he stopped. It might have killed him if he did. And I know Knuckles got in touch with me and says, let the boy, I want to talk to him. And I know Knuckles met with him and showed him a few tips on just how to defend yourself. I mean, he was saying, you need to know if a guy's a righty or a lefty, and you got to try and grab, Boyle would grab Foligno right in the middle.
Yeah.
Of his shirt, which gave him both hands to hit him with. And as Knuckles was saying, you got to take one arm away. You got to grab one arm so that, he can only hit you with the one arm. And he says, Rempe doesn't do that. And again, hopefully it doesn't happen. But according to Knuckles, he leaves himself open that one day he's going to get caught with a good shot.
Well, and I put out the tweet in the hype of kind of feels like the movie Goon, mm-hmm. But I said Canadians fans, I sent out a tweet. Mark your calendars. Here's the tale of the tape between Matt Rempe and Arbor Jacki. But you know what, Arbor Jacki, it should be said, he's not a fighter, a goon, but he does fight.
Yeah,
we haven't seen that in a little bit. I mean,
yeah,
he gets in there and he'll mix it up and he'll get rough, but I think he's even learned quite quickly that it's not a sustainable way to play in the NHL is to, start wailing on, especially, forget the fact that you're putting your team shorthanded, but you're putting yourself at risk every time you throw your gloves on the ice.
Well, the thing with Arbor Jacki, I mean, he can fight. He's a really good fighter, but that's mm-hmm. not why he's in the NHL. I mean, it's part of his toolkit, but he can play, and he's been really good since playing with David Savard. He's been real steady, and I think Savard has calmed him down as far as not losing his cool and blowing a gasket, whereas Matthew Rempe's in the NHL for one reason. He can't play. Mm-hmm. He can fight. He's got 14 games, got one goal. He's got 69 penalty minutes. I mean, it's almost like a gong show with him, right? Like he's only there for one reason. Taking away a spot from a guy who can actually play. So for Jacki, it'll be interesting to see what happens Sunday. He won't go. I spoke with Jacki about this recently, and he says he's at the point of his career, he doesn't fight just for the sake of fighting.
Yeah.
He says, I'll fight if the team needs it. Last night he got attacked by a guy. That's why it wasn't him who went looking for it.
Yeah.
But if he's running around hitting guys or taking cheap shots at guys, I'm sure Jacki will come to their defense, but I don't think he's going to go into the game thinking, I have to fight this guy, because that's not his game anymore. I mean, it's part of what helped him get into the NHL. That rookie camp they had, their rookie tournament in Buffalo, where he hit and fought everybody, and the Canadiens manager went, wow, that helped him get to the NHL. But he's turned into just a really good defenseman who can be physical without having to fight. But as he said, he'll always be there to defend his teammates.
He'll defend his teammates, and, I hope the refs – on Sunday, I hope this every night, but specifically mm-hmm. Sunday against the Canadiens, if Matt Rempe is in the lineup, they're as good as they were in that New York, New Jersey game, mm-hmm. because based off his style of play, he might run around and,
Rempe's there for one reason. Like, Rempe's going into that game hoping he fights Arbor Jacki. That's the only
so, and he'll do anything to accomplish that mission.
He'll try and do something to get Jacki to go with him.
So let's move off fighting and let's talk about someone who we haven't met. Amazing. We haven't mentioned him. And I'm looking at the timer right now. It's been 41 minutes. We have not spoken about him. Either of these guys, frankly. Well, we mentioned one. Juraj Slafkovský. It's crazy just to see the difference in, again, because we're looking back on the season and, we spoke about compete level, and that's always been there for even Juraj Slafkovský. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see how the fans have singing one tune at the beginning of the season. Now they're all aboard the train. I mean, how can you not be? He's getting attention from not just Canadians media. He's getting attention from everywhere. Love his game. You're hearing now we're seeing people going, ooh, Kent Hughes better sign him to the deal that Cole Caulfield got before he plays next season. I'm a little bullish on that stance. But yeah, it's been just amazing to watch his progression, and just when things are going well, they're going really well. You got to be good to be lucky. And, Arbor Jacki takes a shot last night, goes through the broken stick of Nick Suzuki off of Juraj Slafkovský in the net. Another 2 points for him. Just amazing to see him succeed.
Standing in front of the net, And it's been fun to watch because he's realizing just how big and strong he is and how effective he can be standing in front of the net. He's a big man. He's hard to move. The game against Florida, he's a big, strong boy, and he's realizing just how strong he is. And his willingness to go to the front of the net is going to help him so much, and he's going to score goals like that. They're not lucky goals. They're because you're there. You're in the dirty area, and he has the body that he can do it. And it's interesting, you're mentioning the fans. Earlier in the season, it was like, even when he wasn't playing well, to some fans, he could do no wrong, right? Everything he did was wonderful. He was like their child, right? It was the same with Justin Hemme when he first came here. Everybody fell in love with this kid. They have a little bit similar personalities, smiling, enjoying it. And I know I was getting criticized by a lot of people on Twitter because, like, I would point out flaws in his game. Oh, you don't like him? I like the kid. He's a great kid. But earlier in the season, he did not look like he belonged in the NHL. And as much as the focus is on his goals and his points, which is great, what's impressed me the most is his play in his own end. I mean, he used to panic with the puck. He would get the puck out. He wouldn't win many puck battles against the boards. The defenseman would pinch in on him, and he'd lose the puck more often than not. He'd make sort of blind passes to the middle of the ice. He had one hand on his stick way too often. He'd lose puck battles, stick battles. And the improvement has really been remarkable and fun to watch. And the confidence, his cross-ice passes now, like 100 miles an hour, right on the tape. Mm-hmm. He's turning. We're seeing everything that the Canadians saw in him when they decided to make him the number one pick. And Marty St. Louis was talking about this the other day, and he said the thing he likes most about Sapkowski is that he's a team-first guy. And I said, that's rare, like, for a number one overall pick, and especially a kid that age. Like, his focus, like, he wants to win. Like, he wants to be in the playoffs. He went in the locker room after the game last night. You know, he scored another goal, a good game for him. And the whole scrum was around Brendan Gallagher, and Sapkowski was sitting there just by himself. And he almost looked like his dog had just died. You know what I mean? I went up to him. I mentioned the thing about Marty talking about what a good team player he was. And as he said, I want to win, like. You know, I want to do well, but I want to win. Like, and they lost a lot in the first two seasons he's been here, and he doesn't like it, and that's good. Like, he wants his team to win, and that's, as Marty said, for a kid that age to have that mentality where it's not all about my stats, and as you mentioned, the contract, how much money I'm going to make in my next contract and padding stats or whatever. The kid wants to win, and right from day one, even when I thought he didn't belong in the NHL, he looked like he was lost out there. I really like the kid. He's a really fun kid to be around. He's been great with the media. His teammates love him. He's handled all the pressure that comes with playing in Montreal. And that's one of the reasons the Canadians drafted him. Kent Hughes said they thought he had the personality that could handle the bright spotlight in Montreal. And he has been able to do that. So he's been just as impressive, if not more impressive, off the ice with the way he's been able to handle everything as on the ice. And I'm really happy to see him playing the way he's playing. Like, he's going to be a beast. I mean, he's already a beast, but he's learning now how to use his body better to win board battles and how to win puck battles in front of the net and deflections and everything else. And he's going to be a really, I think, dominant power forward in this league for a long time to come. And I asked Nick Suzuki the other night, you know, after Suzuki scored his 30th goal, will Sapkowski be a 30-goal scorer? He's like, yeah, for sure. It's going to be easy. It's going to be easy for him. So that's it's looking like the Canadians made the right choice with that number one pick.
You know, and it's funny because Shane Wright scored a goal this week after a disastrous camp because I didn't watch it, right? So he didn't have a good camp with Seattle, basically played the entire year in the Kraken's AHL team, scored a goal when he came up, and he's playing big minutes. So that's going to be something that a lot of people are going to want to make that comparison. But it's just also possible that these are two really good players. So,
well, exactly. I mean, I thought right from day one, I thought Shane Wright would be the better player in the NHL just because of his pedigree coming up and going through. And people are already determining, like I said, the Canadians made the right pick at number one. Because we'll know for sure 3 or 4 years down the road, right? Different players develop at different paces. And even Kent Hughes said that when they drafted Sapkowski. He told us, guys, we don't want the best player now. We want the player who's going to be the best player at 22, 23 years old when in his prime. So we're a few years away from seeing that. But the way Sapkowski's playing now, even if Shane Wright becomes a really good player, which maybe he will be better, be as good, or maybe put up more points than Sapkowski, who knows? But I don't think we'll say that the Canadians made a bad pick by picking Sapkowski one way or the other, just because of what we're seeing and that physical presence that he has that Shane Wright doesn't have, right? Shane Wright isn't – the size of Slavkovsky, and the kid's huge. I mean, he's just huge. I was, we were interviewing him the other night, and he had shorts on in the locker room. I was looking at his calves are bigger than Marty St. Louis. Marty St. Louis.
That's an accomplishment in itself.
He's just a big kid.
One thing I want to see is just because he's playing so well, and obviously you don't want these guys to be overworked, but you know, they're both of them are just playing really good hockey lately in Nick Suzuki and Juraj Slafkovský. You'd have to think Slafkovský is, if he wants it, he's a lock to make Team Slovakia for the double IHF Worlds. And again, I would want him to play there just because, you know, get more hockey in you, get more reps in you, and you're playing well. Keep that going. But if you know, if you need the rest, you need the rest. That's a different story. But Nick Suzuki too. I mean, this guy, I mean, he hasn't missed a game in, you know, forever. But you know, if you need the rest, take the rest. But if you're offered to play for Canada, go. Like keep pushing. Keep you know, Connor McDavid. No, Connor McDavid won't be there, but maybe Sidney Crosby, maybe not Sidney Crosby anymore, will be there because of Penguins making a surge to the playoff, for a playoff push. But there's going to be some good players on Team Canada that, you know, Nick Suzuki can be a part of and be a big part of that team, because he's had, you know, the best season of his NHL career so far. So these are two players that, you know, I just want to see them play more and more hockey, because it just feels like the more they play, you're watching the improvement every game on them.
Well, Slafkovský has said that he'd be willing to go. He'd like to go. He said it's up to Canadiens management if they think that's what's best for him to go. I imagine he will go. I can't see why the Canadiens wouldn't want him to go. I mean, as big of a star as he is in Montreal, he's a bigger star in his home country.
Oh yeah,
huge. He's a superstar in his home country. And as with Suzuki, he has spoken about how he'd like to play in the Olympics, and I think going to the World Championships would be a good step in that direction to show that he's interested and that he wants to go, and that it's part of his thing. But he plays monster minutes. He never misses a game. We don't know what he's like. But if the Canes are going into the playoffs, he'd have to keep playing, right? And no matter how tired or whatever it is. So I think it would be a good decision for him to go. I'd sort of be surprised if he doesn't go if they ask him to go, and I'd have to think they would ask him to go. And I think it'd be a good experience to play. You know, Caden Gooley has said he'd love to go. He really, really wants to go. And they had a couple of young, if you have Caden Gooley and Nick Suzuki playing for Team Canada, I think it would be a good experience. I remember when Brendan Gallagher went over a few years ago and won a gold medal, and Sam Montembeault last year went over and won a gold medal and carried that over into this season. So I think it's a good idea for them to go. And I think it's I can't remember who the player was. It was Mike Johnson. I heard Mike Johnson talking one day, and he said he had been invited 3 or 4 times to go play for Team Canada. He's like, I don't want to go. It's the end of the season. I'm tired. And then when he did go, he regretted he didn't go the previous time. He's talking about what a great experience it was. So it's I think it would be good for Suzuki to go and play for Canada.
Yeah, I hope they do, because it's just it's also exciting. It's hard to get excited for, you know, Team Canada in this tournament specifically. Like, you don't really see, even when Canada's in the gold medal game, you don't really see the country rally behind it. So it's a good way to get Montreal excited. Yeah. You know, if these players are playing well, you're going to get the fans even going even more nuts about the Canadiens if you think that wasn't possible during the summertime. So I just think it would be exciting to see them go.
That's what happened last year with Montembeault, right? It was more interesting. I actually sort of enjoy that World Championship, because it's sort of a hodgepodge of guys, right? It's
players
on bad teams, right? That get thrown in there, and they're sort of, they have to become a team very quickly and compete together. And you always see that sort of pride that comes out from wearing the maple leaf on your sweater, the way these guys compete. And it's sort of a fun tournament to watch.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, because I remember I was about 20 or 21. I did a Europe trip, and one of the places I went to was Prague in the Czech Republic, and did a free walking tour. And I asked the guy, because you know, he said, here in the town square, we sometimes set up a screen, we watch big events and whatever. And I said to him, because it was the time of the World Championships, I said to him, I go, how serious is this? Because in Canada, you know, we love our hockey, but this tournament, it's not exactly people aren't exactly crying if the Canada gets eliminated. And he goes, this tournament is after the Olympics. It's right there. Yeah. It's like for the European countries, it's right there after the Olympics.
Well, look at the celebrations after teams win and they go back home. And you see there's parades, right? Like there would be it's like a Stanley Cup parade for these guys.
Yeah, he said he remembers once, Czech Republic, they were playing maybe it was a quarterfinal or a semifinal game, and the town square in the old town square just over the Charles Bridge in Prague, which is, the equivalent of, I don't even know where in Montreal because there's so many places, but, we'll call it Maple Leaf Square or Jurassic Park in Toronto. That's the equivalent. And it's just, he said, packed with people, screens everywhere, and just everyone watching. So it's a big deal over there.
I love the European fans too. It's like soccer fans in this.
Oh, yeah. It's great. They're singing.
It's cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
So, it's a big deal over there. So I'm sure Slavkovsky, he really wants to play, bearing that in mind. Mm-hmm. And it's great that a couple Canadians players are getting the recognition and that they might be there. Hey, I mean, Cole Caulfield might go there, but he also might give his shoulder some time to rest.
Well, we're talking about Slavkovsky. Like we're talking with Gallagher before, how he's so proud he stayed healthy. It's good to see Slavkovsky stayed healthy after his knee injury. It's good to see Cole Caulfield stayed healthy all season after his shoulder surgery. So those are good things to watch. And yeah, Caulfield, if he goes and plays for US, that'd be fun to watch also.
And another thing about staying healthy, what's one thing we haven't seen? Maybe we saw it at the beginning of the season, but I can't really remember because it feels like it was 100 years ago. But we haven't seen Slavkovsky get caught with his head down. Like we saw that bunch of times last year, which
that used to happen every third or fourth game, right? No, he's much more aware. You got to remember, he'd never played on the small rink really before, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about in the defensive zone. Like the defenseman gets on you on the boards a lot quicker than in the European game, right? The European game, you can't really pinch the defenseman in the defensive zone because you got so much ice to cover, and he wasn't ready for that. And many times he put himself in vulnerable positions. You also got to remember, he was a man playing against boys growing up, right? Sort of similar to Eric Lindros. So nobody would hit him because he was too big. And if they did hit him, they'd bounce off him. When you get to the NHL and guy, your number one overall pick and you're a big guy, you got a target on your back, right? Guys want to lay you out. But yeah, you're right. I can't remember the last time I saw that happen. And there's a few times I've seen and you go, oh, he's going to get in. At the last second, he sort of sees them. And there's nobody better to learn that from than watching Nick Suzuki play. Nick Suzuki's a master of avoiding big hits and spinning off hits and avoiding checks. So with Slavkovsky, I mean, there's so many. He's improved in so many ways. I mean, you almost lose count. I mentioned the cross-ice passes, the physical presence in front of the net, the winning puck battles, two hands on his stick more. There's just so much. And kudos to Kent Hughes and Marty St. Louis and Adam Nicholas and all the guys who have worked for him. I wrote a column earlier in the season, send him to the AHL. He's not ready. And Marty St. Louis just kept preaching patience and working with him and kept saying he's a sponge. He wants to absorb everything. And you don't want to throw too much at him at once. They're working on one little part of his game, and then they'll move to another part of his game and then another part of the game. And now we're seeing it all come together. And he just turned 20. He's going to get better. He's going to keep getting better as he moves forward.
So let's talk about it quickly before we get out of here, because I mentioned it very, very briefly. It just feels this Eastern playoff race is crazy. It feels like no team wants to make the playoffs. I remember the other night it was I saw the Spider-Man meme, and it was of the Dallas. No, not that. It was the New York Islanders, the Washington Capitals, the who else is in the mix there? The Detroit Red Wings and Buffalo, Pittsburgh, just all pointing at each other. Spider-Man, they're all pointing at each other like, we all don't want to make the playoffs, because there was one night last week or so where they just all lost. Every single one of them lost. Crazy, crazy race in the East. The West is pretty much all locked up. Listen, it's fun to watch the playoffs when you're not working. It's fun to watch them when you are working. Do you have a team you're, I don't want to say rooting for, but you're excited to watch?
Not necessarily rooting for, but I mean, the Islanders are fighting to get in there, and it'd be sort of fun to see Patrick Waugh behind the bench. Watching Tampa last night, like that power play, whoever they face in the first round, man, you better stay out of the box. And they're only 2 points behind the Leafs now, right? So they could knock the Leafs into a wild card spot moving forward. I think the one thing I'm looking forward to seeing is the Leafs in the first round. I think they're going out again. Like, I just, yeah. It's an annual thing. I don't think that team's built for the playoffs. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again with that core group of players that have never got it done before. And they just seem like a team when the going gets tough and you play a team like Boston or Florida. I mean, we saw Florida here against the Canadians. They're a nasty team to play against, right? You got to be willing to pay a big price to play against that team. And I don't know if the Leafs are built to play those teams. I really don't think they are. And with the Bruins, I mean, you know, when they had that incredible season there, and then they tanked out in the playoffs. But there's one of the sort of players I like watching.
Yeah.
Teams, like players, like I want to watch Winnipeg. Now, with Sean Monahan, I really like Sean Monahan as a player. I liked him as a guy dealing with him. Tyler Toffoli. It's sort of fun watching guys from other teams. You know, Philip Deneau with LA, although LA's fighting now too, right? It looked like earlier in the season they were a lock for a playoff spot. They're sort of are now. I mean, it'd be hard for them not to be. But for me, it's more watching players as opposed to teams. Guys that you've interviewed before, guys that you like as a player, guys you respect. I mean, Sidney Crosby, if Pittsburgh gets in, I got so much respect for Sidney Crosby. I mean, he's just been a beast this season. It's incredible. Like, he's Father Time is undefeated, but Sidney Crosby's going to go 15 rounds. You know, I'm looking forward. The first round of the playoffs are awesome. I mean, the first round of the playoffs are the best round, without a doubt. There's so many games on every night, and there's always upsets. It's pretty wild, but I guess from I'm looking forward to seeing what the Leafs do or don't do in the first round of the playoffs.
You know, it's got to be, I mean, I'm really, again, going out on a limb here. It's got to be tough to be a Leafs fan because, you know, forget the lack of success. That's, you know, stuff aside. You know, I feel like when the Canadians get into the playoffs, the expectation from the fans is to win. But there's nothing in the back of your head as a fan saying they can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, like when the Canadians make the playoffs, you believe right away they are going to win. And you're not delusional by thinking that they will win a playoff round or two, depending on who they're playing.
Yeah.
As a Leaf fan, it's you just knocked off, you know, Tampa Bay last year, and then we want Florida. We want Florida. And then, you know, that might be their first round matchup this year.
Yeah.
So that's a bugaboo. If you get Tampa, that's a bugaboo again, because they have a guy who's about to win the Art Ross or in the Art Ross race.
Yeah.
Scoring at will.
Boston, you got Brad Marchand hacking and whacking at your star players.
There's just no good matchup for the Leafs at this point.
Well, an NHL scout told me a couple of years ago, when Kyle Dubas was in Toronto, everything was analytics based. The whole team was built on analytics, almost like a video game. But as a scout told me, he says, what analytics stat shows you which player, when he gets punched in the mouth, doesn't want to play anymore? Or gets slashed like three games in a row? Like, there's no analytics stat to cover that. And he said, that's the problem with the Leafs. They got they got guys who, when they get punched in the mouth, don't respond. And that's been, you know, year after year in the playoffs. We've seen that with the Leafs. And going into this playoff round, I don't see any reason. You know, they've got Joel Edmondson. They got Ryan Reeves. I don't even know if you can dress Ryan Reeves in the playoffs. It's like you're playing shorthanded when he's on the ice. But I don't see that changing this season. Maybe they win around, but I just don't see the Leafs going far in the playoffs.
You know, to me, the one thing I will say about the Leafs, to their credit, is if you just look at the stats of their big players, you would say, oh, they show up in the playoffs. They do their job. The only one I would say it's fair to say he does his job in the playoffs and in showing up every night is Austin Matthews, I feel. Because he's obviously way more talented, but he plays in the same vein. It doesn't get a lot of attention because – because of how he scores a bajillion goals every year, but plays the same way as Philip Deneau. He is very good defensively. So also the best defense is good offense. So, yeah. When he's on the ice, the other team barely has the puck, but he plays very good defensive game. He shows up and he does his job and he pots the goals. But then you see, again, you go back to, if you look at the stats, they're all doing their job. Man, like Mitch Marner. Oh man, I remember watching him last playoff. And it's just, okay, you're feeding Austin Matthews the puck and William Nylander the puck, and they're putting it in the back of the net. But where's your fight, man? Where's the fire? Where's the fire you need to play in the playoffs? That's a guy that, you know, so much criticism comes his way come playoff time. And, this year it's going to be no different. It's you know, you just listen to the way the guys on Overdrive talk. I tune in every so often. And credit to Montreal media, it's easy to be a homer when you're covering one team, but these guys are active cheerleaders for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, is it a big deal that the Toronto Maple Leafs are blowing leads to all these playoff teams and they're crushing non-playoff teams? No, it's not a problem. They still win games. What do you mean it's not a problem?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah. You can't beat good teams.
TSN and Hockey Night in Canada, the Leafs are their bread and butter, right? I mean, if the Leafs go in the playoffs, their ratings tank, right? That's just the reality. I mean, that's why are they so focused on the Leafs? Because that's their main viewership drive, right? Looking at the stats from last playoffs, Marner had 3 goals and 11 assists in 11 games. So the points were there. Matthews had 5 goals in 11 games. But just from a team – like Marty St. Louis speaks so much about building the culture in Montreal and building a winning culture here. And he spoke yesterday about, Tampa Bay has it. Boston has it. Players leave, but the game stays the same. They stay on the same route, as he said. Like, changes here and here, but they just keep playing the same way. They keep playing the same way. They keep playing the same way. They have that winning culture. Then they have the success. And there's not that winning culture in Toronto. There just isn't. It's been, 1967, the last Stanley Cup, but with this team, they win a lot in the regular season, but they just don't seem to have that winning culture in the playoffs. That's maybe one of the reasons why they went and got Joel Edmondson. Joel Edmondson might have been the most popular guy in the Canadiens locker room, respected, and he's a playoff performer. When they had the 4 Clydesdales when the Habs went to the final, he was one of them. He plays a hard, physical, tough game. He's not afraid to whack and hack and slash and cross check and make it not fun to go in front of the net. And I think you can dress him, not like Ryan Reeves.
Yes.
But Ryan Reeves on the ice in the playoffs, you're shorthanded. So Edmondson, you wonder if a guy like that, what kind of impact he might have in the room. And then you look at, last year when they went and got O'Reilly, and when he left, you figure Toronto, he left after the season. And I wondered, what you'd think there's a guy who'd want to stay in Toronto, maybe? Is there something the culture he didn't like or something in the locker room he didn't like? He decided to he was going to move on. But again, until the Leafs win at least a couple of rounds and show that they have that they're willing to fight back when they get punched in the mouth, they're going to have the similar results in the playoffs. It's just, we're talking earlier about line balls and that. I mean, you don't see that so much in the playoffs, but the playoffs are so physical. So physical. And as I say, you play 7 games against Matthew Tkachuk, and you're getting whacked and punched in the mouth every single shift. Brad Marchand, the same thing. It's not fun, right? You got to be willing to take it and also give it back. I remember back when the Bruins played the Canucks in the Stanley Cup final, and I can't remember which Sedin brother it was, and Marchand just punched him in the face about 6 times. At him, what are you gonna do? 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 And they did nothing. And series over at that point. You're just intimidated the guys. They didn't have any pushback.
It's amazing to see the Leafs. I mean, if Marner was healthy, you'd have to expect he'd be in the 90-point range. He's got a high ankle sprain. He's been out for a while. They're going to have 2 guys, presumably by season's end. One might have 70 goals and 200-point players. Another player, had he been healthy, probably be hovering around 100 points. So call it 300-point players. and not a single person outside of the GTA would be shocked if they got eliminated from the playoffs in the first round, yeah, in 5 games, in 6 games, 4 games, yeah, you know, people would be shocked. But, you know, nobody would be surprised. And I wonder, you know, they just fired Kyle, or mutually agreed to part ways with Kyle Dubas 1 season ago. I wonder how much the heat gets turned up on Brad Treliving if they get eliminated in one in run round, or if, yeah, the Heat's going to get turned up on Sheldon Keefe, or if the Heat gets turned up on the players. Who are,
or
who
Brendan Shanahan, who is, yes, the Shanahan plan, right? Like he's, oh, been, yeah, he's been the guy for a long time. And
He's had about 5 GMs and 5 coaches.
Dubas didn't see eye to eye, and they got rid of Dubas. And if they go out again in the first round, I'm thinking, speculating here, I'm thinking if he might be the first guy to take the fall.
Hmm. Yeah. Exciting times. Exciting times. I mean, the playoffs, they're just 15 days away. It's like, yeah, April 20th. The NHL did us a favor and pushed it back 2 days. We gotta wait 2 less days.
My favorite time of the year. The Masters starts next week.
I was just going to say.
Playoffs, you got baseball going on, the NBA. It's the best time of the year for sports. I mean, that first round of the playoffs, just some of the coach flipping channels, right? There's so much, yeah, stuff on. It's great.
I was just going to say, you know, the Masters start next week. NBA playoffs are starting soon. The first round's not the best. It's really, yeah, gets better as it goes along. But, you know, NBA playoffs starting soon. We March got the Madden. NFL, the, yeah, NFL draft coming up. We got the Final, yeah, Four this weekend. Ah, oh, it's
best time of the year for sports.
I'm not going. I haven't been going out these past few weekends. I've been sitting on my couch Saturday night, and I'm loving it. Yeah. I'm loving it. Yeah. So, Stu, thank you very much for joining me. Back-to-back games for the Canadians. Speaking of the Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night.
Always fun.
So that's always fun. And then they got another original six against the Rangers on Sunday. Stu, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a great weekend.
That is Stu Cowan. I'm Matt O'Han. Thank you for tuning in. Listen, there's no more West Coast games for the Canadiens, so I think I can safely say I'll catch you next week.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature. And Playground, your premier gaming destination.